The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Foremost, a very happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers. Where would we be without our moms? We wouldn't be here. That's for sure. We have so much to be grateful for. I have a wonderful mother. And it takes us time in life, I think, to discover just how much our parents love us. And it's not until we get older and start to have children, in my case, starting to have spiritual children, to see just the amazing love of a parent for a child. And the amazing love of a mother for her children. I remember one day when I was applying for colleges, I'd worked so hard to apply for colleges, and there was a certain college I really wanted to go to. And of course, you're waiting for these response cards, and you want to have a big one. Usually the big envelope from the college is good news. You get the thin envelope, that's usually not. And so the college that I had really visited and worked for several years, where I'd hoped to go, sent me a small envelope. And I remember I got it, and I went up to my room by myself, and I opened it, and they said, you know, thank you very much for applying, and you're on the waiting list, which at that school meant basically that I wouldn't be going there. And I was crushed. And my mom came in the room, and she saw my face, and she saw the letter, and she said, oh son, if I could just take that pain away from you, I would. It's a small gesture, and we look at what really is important in life, that really there are so many things much more important than being accepted to the college that we want to go to. But for me, it became a concrete occasion of really seeing the love of my mother for me and this amazing gift of being her son. So it's with a particular gratitude today that we have a day reserved to honor our mothers and to really take time to be with them and to love them, to call them, to spend time with them, and to thank them. In the church, the month of May is dedicated to our mother. The gift that our Lord Jesus gives to us on the cross, the place that looks like defeat, the place that looks like the end. And he says, woman, behold your son. And he says to John, behold your mother. We can see in Mary the fullness of the gospel that we have read today in John chapter 15. In the Lord's discourse to his disciples about remaining in his love, about allowing him to totally remain in us and recognizing that as we are docile to his word And as we receive the gift of the Spirit, we become wonderfully fruitful. And the most fruitful person, the most fruitful disciple in life, in the mission of the church, on earth and in heaven, is Mary. Mary, who is able to hear the Word of God so deeply in her heart that she conceived the Word in her womb. Mary, who became the place where God was perfectly heard. That her yes is the yes that overturned death. And in history, when we look at the chronological order of salvation, it was Mary's yes that allowed God to have a home in the world. It is Mary's yes that the enemies of God, that the enemies of life and love were overturned, and they fear her horribly. And that is why in the spiritual life, the church perpetually sends us to Mary. Because her yes, her fiat, her may it be done, is the may it be done that allowed the Word to become flesh, that allowed God to be with us perfectly, and it is still the way through which God remains with us. Mary is the way of the church. We see in Mary the type, the exemplar, and the perfection of her church, of the church. According to St. Augustine, there are two movements of grace, and later the Council of Carthage would adopt his teaching, that grace always brings us healing, and grace always elevates us in our natural capacities and in supernatural gifts. What the fathers of the church would call gratia sanans et elevans, grace that heals and elevates. And in Mary, we see the perfection of these two movements. In her immaculate conception, perfectly healed by the anterior application of the merits of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and perfectly elevated, assumed into heaven. And so we see in Mary the fullness of life, the fullness of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And even if we can't grasp the formulas or the doctrines, we can know her. And in knowing her, we know how to follow the Lord Jesus. The church also gives us a prayer that is a prayer and that is a road of fruitfulness. It is a prayer that communicates to us the messianic peace of the Lord. And we remember that the first words of the risen Lord to his disciples were, "Peace be with you." Not just once, but twice. "Peace be with you." In the Acts of the Apostles, we hear that the church was at peace with God, walking in the fear of the Lord, being built up in the consolation of the Holy Spirit. These gifts, my brothers and sisters, are the gifts that are particularly manifested in perfection in Mary. She who is fully at peace with God. She who, despite what seemed impossible, walked in the fear of the Lord and total trust in the Lord. And she who became perfectly one with the Holy Spirit so that the consolation of God became a gift to us. And the prayer that the church gives us to learn to be disciples like Mary is the Holy Rosary. Now, many of us didn't grow up with the rosary, or maybe we have seen it. Maybe our moms or grandparents had the rosary. But most of us are not familiar with it. It wasn't until I went to college that I actually learned to pray the rosary. I'm sure my mother tried. And I remember at confirmation, I received a gift, and it was this series of beads that was in this plastic box. And like a good confirmation student, I had not opened the box for all those years, unfortunately. And so my freshman year at Notre Dame, I was in the Navy Reserves, and the Gulf War broke out, and I realized that maybe I wouldn't be able to stay in school. And my roommate, who was also in the Navy Reserves, came in the room and he said, "Joe, would you like to join David and me? We're going to pray a rosary." And I said, "Sure." And I was at the desk and I was thinking, like, rosary. I'm like, come on. You know this. I was having flashbacks to my scrutiny from confirmation. So I looked on the box and I think my mother must have packed the rosary with my things because I had it with me in college. I don't remember packing it. And I got out the rosary and I looked at my other roommate and I said, "Do you know what the rosary is?" He says, I think it's the thing with the beads. I said, "I think you're right." And so, like a good Catholic, he took the rosary out and he put it on. And I thought, I don't think I've seen that in the movies. So we walked into the room. We had a living room in our college suite. And Troy had the rosary on. And I was holding the rosary thinking, like, I'm pretty sure this is the rosary. And then David and Bill, who are two really holy young men, taught us to pray the rosary. We started praying the rosary, and soon in our dorm room, other students came to join us. And by midway through the semester, our room was so packed we had to go to the chapel. The group later grew to be something in Notre Dame called the Children of Mary that my roommate founded. And now there are rosaries all over campus at Notre Dame and at St. Mary's because of their yes to the Lord. And it was really through those days of learning to pray the rosary that so much changed in my life, that my 4 years at college would include going back to confession, would include discovering the Mass, would begin to discover daily prayer, beginning to open the Scriptures. So the rosary for me became a gateway of knowing the Lord. Now, it takes time to pray the rosary, and not all of us have a lot of time. Most of us are quite busy. But we can pray a decade a day. A decade means you pray an Our Father and 10 Hail Marys and a Glory Be. And there are certain mysteries that accompany the rosary. And if you can pray a whole series of mysteries, that would be wonderful. But this month that is dedicated to Our Lady is a time where we go home. We go back to the basics and we realize that things can become so complicated in our lives. Our priorities can become so misconstrued sometimes. And so we go back to Nazareth. We go back to Mary and we say, "Mother, teach us to pray. Teach my heart to simply be totally available to the Lord like yours. Teach my heart to be wonderfully docile and trusting like yours. Teach me to say yes to the Lord this day and always, especially when it seems difficult, especially when it seems impossible to do so." This month is a month for all of us to rediscover who we are as the family of Jesus. The Lord Jesus gave us His Father, who is most glorified in the fruitfulness of His disciples, and Mary is the one who most glorified Him in being so fruitful that she conceived the Son of God and gave Him life. My brothers and sisters, through the intercession of Mary, may we be abundantly fruitful. May God have a home in the world. May God be with us. May we abide totally in Him. And through her intercession, may the Lord Jesus abide in us.